In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Lovely to see you. I promised you last week we would have a cessation of the rain. Well, we had one day, didn't we? Wednesday, was it? The sun shines a little bit today, but lovely to see you. And we gather in church to orientate our lives to the proper things. Now, let me say a little bit about what's been happening in the news first. Peter Mandelson, Jeffrey Epstein, all these events that trouble us, go right to the very heart of government. Do you know the reason that we have these things and they concern us? They upset us. And they cause us anxiety as we come to our reading today from the Gospels. Let me tell you why this is and what the Bible names it as. It names it as sin. One of the most powerful scriptures that is worth remembering from the book of Romans, we read from Romans today, is all have sinned and come short of God's glory. So the first place that, if you want to sort your life out today, the first thing you need to do is to take repentance seriously. You need to repent. Repent means to turn away what you've been doing, confess your sin and turn back to God. I don't know whether Jeffrey Epstein ever repented when he was in prison, whether he asked for a priest and received absolution, but that's what he needed to do because the sins that he committed needed to be made right with God. And the same is true for us. It's the same for Peter Mandelson today, for our own Prime Minister, all of us. All of us have come short of God's glory and we commit sin daily and we need to reorientate our minds and our hearts back to God. We've fallen short of his rule. In our stained glass over there, there's a wonderful description of a plumb line. That's a measure to know that something is straight, used by builders. And the reason it's there and the scripture talks about it is because our lives, all of us, are crooked. And so many of us live daily with anxiety and fear. And we can turn to all sorts of things. We can turn to prescription drugs. I'll say a little bit about that in a moment. We can turn to illegal drugs. We can perhaps try and satisfy ourselves with alcohol or sex or material things, and we run after these things desperately because there is a deep anxiety within the human condition. And actually, what we really need to do is to repent and come back to God. And that's why this is a wonderful place to be here today, because you can go out of this place today a different person from what you came in, because you can make peace with God for the way that you live and the person that you are. And that's why we're here. We want to make peace with God, to reorientate our lives, to live according to the plumb line. We want to live out of right ways. By the way, there has never been a civilization that is not anxious. And probably the main reason that's anxious is because it tries to live without God. Years ago, I used to work for a pharmaceutical company. It's still known. It's called Pfizer. We made millions upon millions of American dollars and sterling because we made a drug for anxiety. It was a drug called lorazepam. Another drug is called diazepam. You might have heard it as Valium. Pharmaceutical companies make huge amounts of money out of these sort of prescription drugs and more recent drugs called SSRIs, because daily people are living desperate lives and they're constantly anxious. And we've got doctors here this morning who will be well known of people who come to them daily with anxiety and fear, and they write a prescription for them because somehow they want to offer some help and healing in the condition that they live in, their anxiety. We made millions, and they still do. We walk around daily with anxiety and fear. I wonder what your anxiety is today, facing this week. By the way, one of the first places to start, if you do live with a constant sense of anxiety, is to stop. Take some quiet somewhere, perhaps kneel down, and orientate your heart to God. Jesus says that you have a Father in heaven who cares about you and loves you, who made you for a purpose. And he's saying one of the best things to do is, first of all, recognize the fact that you have a Father who loves you, who made you, who's concerned about you right now, today. And so you come alive to his presence. By the way, as a father and a grandfather, an uncertainty in my own life as to what might happen next, with us as a family, I have huge anxieties that come my way as well. You might say to me, well, how do I deal with the anxiety that comes my way? Do I take prescription drugs? I have done. And by the way, they do have their value. Don't want to knock them. But one of the best things I found for my daily living is to start at the very beginning of the day by centering my life and my heart in prayer. There are people who've been coming for church for years who've never really discovered the power of daily prayer and praise before they do anything else. By the way, one of the greatest causes of anxiety in our own age is, as soon as you get up in the morning, what do? You look for your mobile phone and you switch it on. Far better, actually, to switch it off. If you get incredibly stressed, if you lose your mobile phone, you need to ask yourself, why has this instrument got an incredibly powerful way in my life and dominates my life, perhaps? That's a modern feature of current life. And by the way, I worry desperately for our kids in relation to this. And perhaps it would be a good thing that young children are stopped from using social media, because that breeds anxiety upon anxiety. We used to run a very large youth club, and we had to stop it because of problems that we had in that youth club. And I believe a large percentage of those problems came about because of social media. Orientating your heart to those things that are most important. I wonder whether you come today and you're actually most anxious. I want to ask you and challenge you again, have you really discovered the practice of the presence of God, of coming alive to him first at the beginning of the day, and knowing that you're a child of his and orientating your heart and life to him first, the plumb line? You see, I think many of us are tourists in relation to the Christian faith. We drop in on it. Perhaps some of us want it because it entertains us. It sort of gives us something, maybe a pep talk or a lift for a moment. We need to come to church and we dabble, we connect for a bit, but then we go on with our own distracted lives and we just carry on like everybody else. We're sort of tourists. We want to be entertained. We drop in. We want a fix. But we don't really connect. Tourists. Are you a tourist today in relation to the Christian faith? The call of God on all of us, particularly as we go to Lent, is not to be tourists, but to be pilgrims. And pilgrims are people who walk. One step, two step, one step, two step. They learn to walk in the Christian way, and their life is orientated to seeking the kingdom of God in all that they do, day by day, in everything, so that the ordinary becomes holy. The getting up, the washing of the dishes, the making of the tea, the emptying of the dishwasher, the going to work, the conversation, everything becomes holy because they are pilgrims. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. It's a pilgrimage, it's a walk where they're constantly, all the times, orientating their heart to God. They seek his kingdom in everything. They don't just dabble. They are pilgrims, not tourists. I wonder what you are today. If you're a tourist, the chances are that most of your life will be filled with as much anxiety as everybody else. And you'll hear what I've said today and you will perhaps be entertained if you're listening. And then you will go out and live like everybody else, anxious, worried, fretful, fearful, uncertain about the future, just managing, coping, but not trusting. But if you're a pilgrim, right to the very end of your days, from your baptism, you are walking the journey of faith. You're coming to the alive to the voice of God that says, you are my child, I know you, I love you, trust me, trust me, trust me. Recently I've had a lot of anxiety in my own family life which has come my way, and there's a particular verse that's kept me. It's from the book of Proverbs. It's worth listening, remembering. It goes like this: in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And another: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You see, when you do this and you learn to a position of trust and knowing and peace and prayer, as opposed to a fretful life that is constantly anxious, distracted, who knows what next. You see, the Christian answer to our anxiety in the world, here it is, the Christian answer to the anxiety that's in the world is not to for us to pretend that it's not there, or to somehow just get control, because you never get control. You will never get control. The Christian answer to the anxiety in our world is to learn to trust God, to orientate your heart to him, to trust him daily. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And that's what it means to move from a tourist, distracted, entertain me, give me a fix, to the position of being a pilgrim, so that daily, left foot, right foot, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, you orientate your heart to the living God. To finish, I was sorting through some books this week. I came across this book from a previous priest here at St. Andrews. It's a book worth reading. I don't know whether you can get it now. Mike Pratt used to be here as priest. He wrote this wonderful book called The Renewal of Your Mind. Basically, it's much the same things that I've been talking about this morning. If you've got it, I can lend it to you. Mike Pratt. And perhaps most important, one of the books that has kept me over the years, this is a book called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence was a monk, and he worked in the kitchen of a monastery. And he wrote this incredible book about learning daily, moment by moment, just becoming alive to the presence of God. And when you do, every ordinary thing becomes holy. Those things that are like mundane, like washing up the dishes, become a delight. Because all that you do daily, you offer to the living God as an act of worship. The anxiety that is there is replaced by aliveness to the presence of God who made you. Wonderful book. Probably one of the most powerful Christian classics ever written. The Practice of the Presence of God. You see, God is here now. If we could just stop, come alive to his presence, sense that he is all that we need, and offer our anxieties and our fears and our life to him, orientated our heart, become pilgrims rather than tourists, we would begin to encounter something of the Jesus peace, of the Jesus peace that he wants to offer. But the first place is first of all to kneel and repent and turn back to him. To kneel, to turn, to repent and go back to him and find peace with him. Amen.
Let us pray. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. Good and gracious God, we thank you for your gifts of creation. We give thanks for the wonders and beauty of our world. Father, we pray that we will love and respect your world, taking care to use its resources wisely, avoiding pollution and unnecessary waste. We pray for us as your people, and we pray for our church and our church leaders. We pray for Reverend Lyndon and Barbara, for Bishop Luther, the Bishop of Willesden, and for Dame Sarah Mulally, the recently appointed Archbishop of Canterbury. We pray for our church members and for those who join us in worship today. We pray for a renewed sense of being one in Christ. We pray for a deeper sense of belonging together as children of God. Help us to support each other with a readiness to give encouragement and be thankful for all that we receive through our fellowship in Christ. Help us to order our priorities, to order our plumb lines, so that above all things we may seek you and your kingdom here on earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, we pray for our government and for world leaders. May they be blessed with the gifts of wisdom, integrity, and humanity, so that they might be equipped for the difficult decisions they have to make. May they lead their nations and other nations of our world towards peace, justice, and the good of all people, particularly those who are vulnerable. We pray for countries and people devastated by war and hatred. After 4 long years at war, we pray for an end to the war between Ukraine and Russia. We pray for the people of Iran at this time of fear and uncertainty. We pray with compassion for people in Israel and Gaza. We pray for those who have lost loved ones and continue to suffer from the traumas of war, hunger, and starvation. Be near to those who are anxious and bring comfort, strength, and healing to all who are suffering from the traumas of unrest and wars. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord of compassion, we pray for all people who live in squalor and in bad housing. We pray for the unemployed and for those who have been made redundant and are struggling to make ends meet. We pray for families who have been evicted from their homes because they could not pay their rent. We pray for anyone who is living in poverty today and for those who lack adequate clothing to protect them from the harshness of winter. Lord, meet their needs. We pray for the homeless, for those sleeping in doorways and parks, in hostels and in night shelters. Lord, help us to see your face in the eyes of every homeless person we meet, and guard us and guide us in what we should do to help them. Lord, we pray for our homes and our communities. We pray for parents and grandparents and children everywhere. May where we live be places of peace and love. May our lives reflect your love and acceptance, and may our communities show your beauty and joy. Lord, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we pray for the sick, for those who are sad, for all who suffer in mind and body. We remember in prayers those who are named in our Starlink. We pray for healing for Earl Adams, Pam and Fred Archer, Elizabeth Bello, Rosemary Cox, Noel, Stephen, Elizabeth Francis, Malcolm George, Joyce Nicolay, Sue Nichols, Pam Story, Marion Twentyman, Martin Boyles, and Angela Zajurian. We pause too to remember those known to us who are unwell and in need of our prayers. Give them the strength they need to cope with their ailments and anxieties, and deliver them from their troubles and worry. Heavenly Father, we pray for anyone known to us who is dying. We pray that you will strengthen them for their final journey, so they will not be afraid to make their way into your heavenly kingdom. We remember in prayer those who have died and rest in peace. We remember with thanksgiving the anniversaries of Annie Clench, Ethel Hamilton, Irene Crouch, Hyacinth Lewis. And lastly, Lord, we pray for one another. Help us not to waste time worrying about things in life which concern us. Help us to remember that we are your most precious creation. So we should trust in you, our Heavenly Father, to always take care of us. Instead of worrying, help us to concentrate on what matters to you, our Heavenly Father, which is to have a sincere heart with love for God, for humanity, and each other. Trust in the Lord with all that we are and lean not on our own understanding. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.